What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. And moving forward, guess what? This is true. Virtual season is over, folks. I'll be getting their inside knowledge from the sidelines once again about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run, yet super essential podcast for the month of August. Guys, I couldn't be more proud of how this podcast is trending in 2020. While this might be the worst year of all of our collective lives, relatively speaking, it's also the best for this podcast. That's because we've been talking to the best, and that couldn't be more true today as we head to the Motor City. I dialed up Dave Burkett. You can find him at Dave Burkett on Twitter. He's the Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. You're not getting in without his vote. He's a 3-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year. This is big time. He's about to give us the inside scoop on Lions training camp and deliver the definitive guide to the 2020 Detroit Lions, a team I think we're all excited about in some ways. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Burkett. Hello, Dave.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Thank you for talking to me once again. This is a nice yearly tradition now, 3 years running. I really do appreciate you taking the time, and I know this is a crazy time of year for you, so we'll get through it quick. People are excited about the Lions, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, no problem. Interesting season, man. Should be an interesting season.
To say the least, the pads have officially come on. The quality reps are happening. What's your first impressions of this offense as it moves to a more traditional practice?
Yeah, I think they have the potential to be a very good offense. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on whether the offensive line holds up. I mean, that's the biggest question. But look, Matthew Stafford looks healthy right now. You know, they have plenty of really good weapons. Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, you know, TJ Hockenson is healthy. They should be strong at the tight end position. A couple running backs that are, you know, unproven or have had some injuries. But I think there's enough depth at those skill positions to really make for an exciting offense. And like I said, it's just about that offensive line because, you know, as everyone knows, there's not a lot of – they didn't have a lot of time this offseason, of course, to work together. And they're breaking in an entirely new right side of the offensive line. So if they hold up, if they give Matthew Stafford time, they could be pretty good.
Any particular insights you've taken away from these first few days of practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, it's 2 days or a couple days in here and not tackling to the ground. You know, a lot of it is they've been short practices so far. The NFL has started where you get 90 minutes the first day. I think it's 1:45 the second. So they're slowly ramping things up. You know, the Lions haven't even got into situational football yet in some of their work. But I will say this, you know, I think the young guys, we thought this was going to be a pretty good draft class, and the early returns are that it is going to be a strong draft class with the potential for, you know, maybe 4 guys to you know, be solid contributors off the bat. Certainly Jeff Okuda will be there at some point. He's not taking first team reps yet. Cornerback's a tough spot. So I think he will be there in week one, but he expects some hiccups. Jonah Jackson has taken first team reps on the offensive line. He certainly projects as a starting guard, though wouldn't surprise me if, you know, we saw Kenny Wiggins hold that spot early on. And then, you know, you throw in DeAndre Swift and Aquara and even Quintez Cephas, who's looked, you know, good so far. So, you know, I think there's at least something to hope on with the rookies.
Hope is something the Lions always bring to the table when it comes to the dawn of a new season. But let's take a look back at last year when it comes to this offense real quick. They had some early offensive success until quarterback Matthew Stafford got injured. Even without Stafford for a lot of the season, they still finished ahead of 2018, moving up in the late teens from the mid-20s in the league in terms of points scored and total yards, and repeating as the top 12 team in total plays. So an increased efficiency there. They were also in the middle of the pack in both rush and pass attempts. A fair amount of balance with 61% of their plays out of 11 personnel. This team carries over a ton of consistency from head coach to offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel to most of its skill position players. Should we expect this team to build on what they've started last year in terms of how this offense operates, or are they looking to mix it up and add a few new wrinkles?
No, I think it'll be a lot like last year. I mean, certainly they have to change some things, right? Defensive coordinators catch up and they see what's on film, and you know, a lot of the personnel is the same. The one thing I do think that maybe we could see a little bit more of if Hockenson is healthy again is that two tight end set. I don't know the teams off the top of my head, but I believe it was, you know, the top five teams in terms of using two tight end looks last year all made the playoffs. And that's something that the Lions, you know, Matt Patricia has talked about the different looks that you can give. And with Jesse James, the money they invested in him, the high draft pick with Hockenson, I think the Lions have the potential to use that formation to, you know, an even greater extent this year to get the most out of that offense. So ultimately, you know, I still think you're going to see them take some shots downfield with Stafford and that arm and those quarterbacks. And, you know, they do want to, you know, have some balance with the running game, but I wouldn't expect it to look a whole lot different than last year.
Well, those shots downfield had fantasy gamers really excited about Matt Stafford's game last year. He's the longstanding stalwart in this offense, and according to the Fantasy Echo Chamber, he was on pace for 10,000 yards, 100 touchdowns before he got hurt. That's a joke, obviously, but experts do love to tout what a role Stafford was on in 2019. How has he looked at camp, and if healthy, could we see a career year for him, or should we expect the Lions to manage him a little bit differently to keep him on the field?
Well, you know, I think that's part of the running game and the, you know, drafting of DeAndre Swift is that maybe if they can squeeze a little bit more out of that running game, then maybe they don't have to put Stafford in harm's way quite as much. But again, you know, everyone knows Stafford's talents, and what he has is, you know, the big arm, and he can throw it downfield and he can make some big plays. And he certainly looked, you know, so far in camp, like he's ready to do some of that. So ultimately this team, this offense is going to, you know, it's going to go as far as he carries it. And I think he has the potential to take the offense a long way because I believe in the weapons that he has around him. So if the Lions can keep him healthy, you know, this offense is going to put up some points.
And we're drafting Stafford with no fears from the previous season's injury. He looks healthy and active.
Yeah. I mean, he does look healthy, but look, you know, he's had back injuries each of the last 2 years. It wasn't a one-time thing. I mean, he did not miss games, obviously, in 2018, but he did have fractured bones in his back then. You know, and last year was just in a different part of his back. So it's a concern. I don't think, you know, when you're 32 years old and in your 12th NFL season and you've had back injuries the last 2 years, I don't think you can rule it out and just say, hey, he's going to be healthy. It was a fluke thing. You know, I certainly wouldn't take him over Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or some of those guys, but I think the potential there is enticing enough that he can put up some big numbers. You know, I would still feel comfortable making him my starting quarterback, I guess, depending on where I'm picking.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to the guy Stafford is throwing to in the receiving core. Wide receiver Kenny Galladay is now a confirmed fantasy headliner after he put up increased numbers in yards by over 100 to almost 1,200 and more than double his single season touchdown production with 11, and he did so on 3 less targets and 5 less catches. Marvin Jones is still around and always a big play threat. Danny Amendola was a PPR dart throw last year with almost 100 targets. And now rookie Quintez Cephus, you talked about him already, he's allegedly making waves at camp. How have these guys looked, and what can we expect in terms of a hierarchy on the field in 2020?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll say this about Cephus. You know, I wouldn't draft him unless you're in a long-term dynasty league. You know, there's some, you know, reason to do it then to bet on the future. But as things stand, Kenny Galladay is your number one receiver. Marvin Jones is number two. Danny Amendola is number three. And the Lions are not going to deviate from that barring injury. Galladay, look, he's a stud. I mean, he really is. I mean, big physical receiver, you know, all the touchdowns he had last year, led the NFL in touchdown catches. There's no reason to think that that's going to be less. He's the guy that if you only have one of the receivers, he's the guy to pick. You know, the other guys are, to me, I think, you know, they're both fine receivers, Marvin and Danny. They you know, have both put up, you know, fine numbers in their career, and they're both capable of big games, but they're probably more spot plays, right? I mean, maybe they're your number three receiver on your fantasy team because that's how it is. The Lions offense is structured so that Galladay is going to get a lot of the targets. And then whoever outside of that, maybe it's a tight end, maybe it's a running back, maybe it's Marv, maybe it's Danny Amendola. I don't know that you can consistently depend on those guys to put up big numbers week in and week out for fantasy purposes, as the collection of talent there is for the Lions in real life.
Do we expect Kenny to get a high target volume?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what do you have, 60, would you say 63, 65 catches last year? I think it was something like that.
I think
you see a little tick up in the numbers. I mean, look, he's going to get a contract extension here. You know, the Lions are not paying him to be a decoy. Certainly he's earned the trust of Matthew Stafford. I wouldn't expect him to top 100 catches because I don't think this offense is built like that. And I don't think Matthew Stafford operates like that. You know, he's more than willing to spread the ball around. It's not a Kelvin Johnson situation where they're going to feed him at all costs. But, you know, if Galladay's at 75 catches this year, you know, maybe 80, you know, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Looking down the line, and you mentioned Cephas is more of a dynasty play, and this is through a dynasty feed. There's word that he might be in the slot. Is that something that's gaining traction?
Well, so the Lions liked his versatility, that he has some of that size to play on the outside, but that, you know, he can also play in the slot. And yeah, no, that's right. I actually wrote something talking to his old position coach at Wisconsin, who's now at Michigan State, earlier this summer. And the guy that he compared him to was Jarvis Landry. And, you know, we know how good Jarvis Landry has been, just at the sheer volume of targets that he gets and his ability to make plays and make those catches. And so I think ultimately this year he's the number four receiver, and he will play a little bit outside, a little bit in the slot. He's sort of the first guy off the bench no matter what you need. And then maybe it's probably a little too early to say exactly where he slots down the line. Let's see where his strengths are in the NFL, but I certainly could see him playing inside as he goes forward.
Well, the Lions have had some success both bringing in wide receivers and drafting wide receivers over the recent years. So it's exciting to hear. If there was a situation, though, in Detroit, the fantasy gamers needed help the most, it's in the running back room. The Lions went out and spent high draft capital on DeAndre Swift, who profiled as RB1 for a lot of draft Twitter. But Kerryon Johnson has been productive for this team in the past, and he's still around and wants you to know it. As someone who has eyes and ears on this team day in, day out, can you talk about what you're seeing from both of these guys at camp, and how do we think their roles will play out on the field?
I think that's a tough one, and I think if you're a fantasy owner, you're probably going to be kicking yourself some weeks and happy with your choices some weeks, because the Lions, if they've proven one thing under Matt Patricia, afraid to sort of split the workload. I mean, think back 2 years ago, you know, Kerryon came in and he was looking really good early on in the season, and the Lions still refused to put him in the lineup and give him starts. I think it was LeGarrette Blount, if I remember right, at that time. And Kerryon is still, you know, the number one back right now. He's taken the first team reps when he's been healthy. You know, the Lions gave him a stay the other day. I would expect it to be that way to start the year, where he is sort of the starter. But again, you're not taking a running back, you know, number 35 overall, if you don't plan on playing him. And so I think there's a potential for Swift to vulture more work as the season goes on. I think at a minimum, you know, he's going to be good if you're in a PPR league. He certainly has some ability to get in the open field and run away from linebackers, and he's very elusive. I could see him in a third down role for the Lions. I don't know that either one of those guys, you know, they're probably not going to be running back one on your fantasy team just because of, you know, the way the Lions offense is. But I think they can each have a role. And certainly, you know, if you're drafting one, thinking long term, either within the season, towards the end of the season, or you know, from a dynasty perspective for the future. Kerryon's probably, you know, it's probably 50-50 splittish somewhere early on. But Swift, his role is probably going to grow as the season goes. And he's the guy for the future, and he's the guy that's going to, I would think, catch more passes. So I think there's more upside with Swift.
Now, a lot of fantasy Twitter loves to talk about how the Lions, you know, they've spent the draft capital on running backs in the past, but Swift, he's a different type of player. He's the running back prospect that you dream of. Have you seen that at camp?
Not big, definitely not big. I mean, my first impression of seeing him out there was, whoa, he's not that big a guy at all. But, you know, obviously at that position, you don't have to be. Definitely elusive. You know, I wrote about this after practice Tuesday, Lions' second padded practice, just the ability that he has catching the ball. I mean, setting some of the linebackers up when he's coming out of the backfield, and the ability to cut on a dime and you know, get outside. That's definitely there. He did drop one of those passes that we saw, so maybe you have to be a little bit wary of that early on. It's far too early to say exactly what's going on. No tackling or anything like that in practice, but you certainly, you know, see some of the flashes of why he was a high draft pick.
We love it, Dave. Thank you. This is why we're here. Okay, rounding to the finish in the tight end room. Well, actually, no, before we go, real quick, before we leave the running backs, I wouldn't call myself a Ty Johnson truther, but I do like him. Any hope that he has a role in 2020?
I don't see it, frankly, right now. I mean, You know, I think the third running back spot is sort of up for grabs. I mean, those top two are going to be the guys again, barring injury. They drafted Jason Huntley in the fifth round too. You know, he has the potential to win the return job. They signed Jonathan Williams, who, you know, it's early. You know, who knows, you know, if he makes the team. I would say probably not, but he does look – seeing him in practice, he looks like he could play on an NFL team this year right now. So I don't know that there's a role for Ty Johnson this year.
Sorry, Ty Johnson truthers. I guess I'll throw myself in that mix. Why not? All right, rounding to the finish in the tight end room, the Lions have highly touted tight end prospect TJ Hockenson, who blasted onto the scene in Arizona in week one in 2019 with 6 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. It turns out the Cardinals were a bit of a free square for tight end play last season, pretty much getting gouged by every team at that position. And the rest of the season was not so great for Hockenson, who battled injury as well, finishing the year with 32 catches, 367 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now, he was a rookie tight end, and the QB play was inconsistent. But in year two, he's getting buzz once again. What's it like seeing him in practice versus last year, and what's a realistic expectation for his production?
Well, on the bright side, the Lions play the Cardinals early this season again, so two. So maybe there's some, you know, that's a play for you. But the one thing that concerns me is that Hockenson, talking to the media the other day, said the ankle is still a concern. You remember he had a very, you know, nasty ankle injury at the end of the season, finished the year on injured reserve, was limited, not that they did anything again, but was limited in his workouts throughout the spring. And, you know, he said he has to get over the point where he's babying it. So the way that he talked about it, it does give me a little bit of pause for the year. And the Lions have used Jesse James as sort of their first tight end here early on in practice. So I'm high on Hockenson. I think, you know, he has the potential to be a good player. He will see improved numbers from him this year. But just the way that he talked about that injury made me temper my expectations a little bit. And maybe we're looking at 45 catches or something instead of 60, depending on what your expectations were, I guess, going into the year.
We're believing in the long-term potential of Hockenson, but he's still got to get all the way back and healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I would like, you know, the Lions envision him being their number one tight end. But if the ankle isn't right, you know, if there's something that's holding him back physically or mentally, I think the fact that they have Jesse James still and the fact that they have all these other weapons, you know, on offense, the receivers, the running backs who can contribute, it gives me a little more pause that maybe he's not going to be as big a factor in the offense. At least in the counting stats that we're talking about here, that maybe, you know, some of us had thought, you know, a month or two ago.
We've said Jesse James' name a few more times than I think that anyone has ever talked about him, actually. No offense to Jesse James, but could he pop up as fantasy relevant this year?
You know, last year was a rough one. What do you have, like a catch a game last year after the Lions went out and spent, you know, $20 million on him in free agency. I don't know that he's going to. If Hockenson is not the tight end, if he's not the one producing the stats, I don't know that those stats are all of a sudden going to fall to the other tight ends. I think you're more, you're better off investing in some of the Lions' other players, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, Galladay, if you don't think that Hockenson is going to put up big numbers.
All right, Dave, we're going to get you out of here. One last question. It's a bit of a toughie, though. We're going to make you put yourself out there. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Detroit Lions in 2020?
Ooh, a fantasy prediction for the Lions. Look, I'm a believer in Stafford. I mean, I don't think, you know, you mentioned, you know, maybe his best year. I don't think he's going for 5,000 yards like he did back in 2011 or 40 touchdowns. But, you know, he was on pace for 5,000 yards last year. You know, I think he's looking at a 4,700-yard quarterback or something like that this year, which is really good numbers. You know, maybe it's a tick below that, but if they're going to win, it's going to be because of him. And if they're not winning, he's going to be throwing a lot. So, again, he's not in that Mahomes, Lamar Jackson tier of starting quarterbacks in fantasy, but I wouldn't have any trouble, you know, having him as my starting quarterback on my team.
Absolutely love it. Thank you, Dave. And thank you so much for once again joining me. This is a big deal and truly an honor to talk to you. I hopped in my car a few weeks ago after finishing a round of golf, and I heard you on the radio talking the immediate fallout of the Matthew Stafford COVID situation. And it wasn't just any radio station. This was the NFL radio. So the fact that you're willing to take your time out and talk to me is really an honor, and I really appreciate it. And you said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
Freep.com is our website, freep.com. And I'm on Twitter at Dave Burkett, BIRKETT.
Well, thanks again, and have a healthy and happy rest of your 2020.
You got it. You too. We'll talk to you again.
Matt Stafford, late round QB1. You are now dialed in.